give a wonderful round of applause to the music we heard today, the New Testament Gospel singers. Thank you so much. Right off the bat today, we're going to begin our programs. If you would, please stand. We are going to have the posting of the colors by the Glendale Police and Fire Honor Guards, following with the singing of the National Anthem by Lynn Richardson and the singing of the Black National Spiritual by Marsha Love.
And see some of the artwork out in the lobby by the talented and creative students from Las Artes del Maricopa. We will also hear from a man who is recognized as a soldier of justice and equality. And we're going to honor a member of our community who has made accomplishments that have impacted the lives of children and youth in our communities and exhibits the beliefs and qualities consistent with Dr. King's life. Before we go any further, I would like to take the honor and pleasure of bringing to the stage the mayor of Glendale to give us a few opening remarks. Please join me in welcoming Mayor Elaine Scruggs.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this important event. I want to thank the Diversity Committee that puts these events together each year for all your hard work. As I prepare to open each of these types of events, I think very carefully about what are the important, what are the significant, what are the meaningful things that I can say, not taking away from the importance or the respect due to, for example, this time Dr. Martin Luther King, but how can I add in a meaningful way to what we're about to experience? And this year was no exception. Boy, I tell you, I go through quotations and I go on the internet and I am the queen of Google. And I search and I search and I read, and I had several ideas. Our wonderful staff put together some thoughts for me, and I was going to talk about how the city of Glendale is a city of inclusiveness. And we have been designated that, and that's a wonderful thing. And then I came upon something that was sent to me by a member of the community that talked about the seven principles of Kwanzaa and how much they meant to me and how much I was touched, because I never understood those. I never knew those before. And so I called Don Logan and I said, would this be appropriate? But nothing felt really right. This morning as I was getting ready and driving down here, I knew what I wanted to say to you. It's going to be a little bit personal this time, but I'll tell you the truth. Certain events that have been happening recently in our community have caused me to reflect more on inclusiveness and what it means. And somehow the events Saturday in Tucson fit into this in my mind. I can't tell you how, but I think it's important to say certain things. Our guest speaker, our keynote speaker today, Dr. Stewart, I read an interview with him, an article written about him earlier this month about his participation in this event. And something struck me. He said, one issue for Arizona is many people in leadership are primarily of European descent, white, and they have very little knowledge and interaction with people of color on a regular basis, he said. And I don't know why, that just kind of stuck with me. And this morning, I admitted why. You know, you all see me as I have allowed myself to be created by the media, by constituents, by perceptions, but you really don't know me. I grew up in one of those communities of European descent, white, but my skin color didn't fit with everybody else. And I was constantly asked questions by my little friends, my bigger friends, and so on. Why did I look different? And I talked to my parents. My parents grew up in extremely discriminatory situations in New York. And it bred fear into them. And their answer to me, their only child, was, don't talk about it. That was what we did. We just never talked about it. We didn't talk about our family's heritage. We never talked about our religion, which was not the accepted predominant religion. We just never talked. Be quiet, keep your mouth shut, and, you know, maybe it'll all go away. And I am very much my parents' daughter. I was an only child, and I tell you, I was always a good girl, and I did what my parents said. And so that's how I grew up, and I think that's how I've kind of allowed myself to be shaped in this community. For 40 years, I have been in positions that have been considered non-traditional for my gender, even my age sometimes, 40 years. But I just laugh and smile and joke about it, and I don't know now if that was all really right. I don't know if I should have been silent all those years. And now, as I said, with some things that are happening in our own city of Glendale, and with the events in Tucson, somehow it's all coming together. I lost my dad in 2008. I lost my mom in 2009. So they won't, well, they'll know if I say things, but they can't do anything about it now. They can just be up there and be angry with me and wait till I get up there and they can bawl me out then. But I guess my message is, as we go about our business of being inclusive, and I have to give full credit to our city manager, Ed Beasley, for really giving us the shove forward that we needed. I think we did a lot of things in this city for many years that fit into inclusiveness, but we did them because they were the right things to do. We didn't have a plan. We just kind of did them because they were the right thing to do. But Ed has really shaped the city of Glendale when it comes to diversity and inclusiveness, and that's his role. He has authority by our city charter to direct the activities of every one of you that work for the city of Glendale, so he can have the most impact. And, you know, and I've sat back and be quiet. Maybe I've seen not really involved. My fellow council members, I look at them, and most of them, I know their backstories. I know they've gone through some discrimination and some discriminatory situations in their lives, but they don't talk about it either. Maybe we should, I don't know. But what I do want to say is, as we go about including, working to include those who we perceive have been excluded, don't just take others for granted and assume they've never been down that path and have never been on that journey either. Many of us have stories where we have been excluded and we have experienced pain and we have felt unwanted and unwelcome. We don't wear it openly, but the pain is inside. And I think bringing all of us that seem like we've got it all, the world belongs to us, bring us in too, and make us part of truly building an inclusive community. I hope what I've said makes sense to you. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't, because I've never shared it before. And these are thoughts that have been building in me that I feel need to be said. So I guess I'm a different person maybe than what I have allowed others to make me seem like I am. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I've talked about it today. I hope it means something to you. I'm going to read a proclamation from the city of Glendale. Whereas the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. believed that a person's worth should not be measured by his or her color, culture, or class, but rather by his or her commitment to creating a better life for all by living a life of service for others. And whereas Dr. King's message of peace and service and his dream of pursuing a world free from prejudice and injustice lives on and has not been forgotten. And whereas Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of racial equality, understanding service and social justice is an inspiration to all of us. And whereas service to others is a bond that unites us as citizens and helps us to define a vision achievable by working for the common good. And whereas the city of Glendale joins with other communities across this nation in tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his ideals. Now therefore, I, Elaine M. Scruggs, mayor of the city of Glendale, Arizona, on behalf of the city council, do hereby proclaim January 17, 2011 as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Service Day and encourage all citizens to observe this day by participating in service activities and projects in honor of Dr. King's life and lasting legacy. Becky and Joe, I should have called you up. And thank you for the good work that you've done in putting this day together. I know it's very, very hard, and we appreciate all
of you. Glendale attracted residents from different ethnic, cultural, and religious backgrounds. Just as it is today, people came here to make a living, raise a family, or practice their religion. In addition to coming from all over the United States, Glendale residents came from China, India, Japan, Lebanon, Mexico, and Russia, to name a few. With the theme of embracing inclusiveness in our community, this is a good time to look back at Glendale's history to recognize its diversity. Here now are some of those stories. Molly and James Kofeld brought their growing family to Glendale in 1898. They were members of the Church of the Brethren, a large religious community which helped establish Glendale in the 1890s. In addition to religious reasons, the Kofelds came to Glendale because other families were already living here. They also came for better economic opportunities. They remained in Glendale and raised seven children. Descendants of Molly and J.H. Kofeld still live in Glendale. John Mondo was one of several farmers from India who cultivated land in the Glendale area. Born in the Punjab district of India, Mondo came to the United States in 1909 and moved to Glendale in 1934. The Mondo family owned several pieces of land in Glendale and operated a successful vegetable farm here until 1959. John and his wife Myrtle raised five daughters at their farmhouse, which stood at 67th and Orangewood Avenues. Glendale named Mondo Park, located near 59th and Olive Avenues, after the family. Antone Maldonado came to Glendale in 1901 and found an established Mexican-American community. Glendale's Mexican-American community has been around as long as Glendale has. Maldonado opened a blacksmith shop in 1903, one of the first in Glendale, which was located at what is now 57th Avenue and Grand Avenue. Antone forged equipment, shoed horses, repaired wheels, and even built buggies and caskets. He stayed in business through the 30s. He raised several children in Glendale, and some of his descendants still live here today. African Americans worked in Glendale businesses on local farms or farmed on their own starting in the early 1900s. The Pacific Creamery Company was one such business where African Americans worked during Glendale's early years. More African Americans moved to Glendale after the 1950s, working in or starting businesses, purchasing homes, and raising families. Glendale was the center of a large Japanese-American community. Mr. Tsunenori Okabayashi came to Glendale in 1907. He was one of many people of Japanese descent who operated truck farms, small farms which grew a wide variety of produce in the area. His children attended local schools, as well as a Japanese school nearby, where they learned the Japanese language and about their culture. The Okabayashis worried that they would have to move to a relocation camp during World War II, but they were able to stay. Ivan and Fenya Tregubov arrived in Glendale along with nearly 200 other Russian immigrants in 1911. This group fled Russia to practice their Molokan religion and eventually came to Glendale to help grow sugar beets. Many community members left Glendale after a few years because of farming hardships, but the Tregubovs and other families, such as the Konovalovs, Popovs, and Tomachovs, stayed and farmed in Glendale. Some families remain today, and traces of this community can still be seen near 75th Avenue and Bethany Home Road. E.C. Otondo was a member of one of the first Bosque sheep ranching families to come to Arizona, and one of several families which lived part of the year in Glendale. The Bosques are from the Pyrenees mountain region of France and Spain, from where Otondo's father moved to the United States in 1899. E.C.'s family had a winter pasture for their flock in Glendale, and for many years, he herded his sheep to and from Glendale to northern Arizona. Glendale, Arizona, embracing inclusiveness in our community for more than 100 years.
I would like to bring forward Ms. Kristen Cray, the Diversity Committee Chairperson, who will bring this presentation to us this morning.
Thank you, Susan. Good afternoon, everyone. As Chair of the City of Glendale's Diversity Committee, it's my honor to introduce the recipient of this year's Promoting Inclusiveness Award. Each year during this event, the City of Glendale recognizes one individual who promotes inclusiveness in our community and exhibits the beliefs and qualities that are consistent with those of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and those that he lived and advocated for. This is an opportunity for us to honor the accomplishments and the important contributions of those in our community who keep the vision of Dr. King alive. The winner of Glendale's 2011 Promoting Inclusiveness Award is Charles St. Clair. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Mr. St. Clair. And one of the things that I thought was real interesting that I just learned is that he's attended the City of Glendale MLK event every year since its inception. So he is a large supporter of our program. He joins a growing list of awardees that have gone above and beyond in their lives to continue Dr. King's work of promoting a society that is just, peaceful, and understanding. His contributions to this cause are impressive. He's touched thousands of lives and continues to do so every year. Mr. St. Clair is an Emmy Award-winning actor and director with more than 300 productions to his name, but most notable to our award committee is his reenactment each year of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. He recreates this moment in Arizona's civil rights movement for the March on the West event at ASU West. As many as 800 middle school children take part in the annual celebration by gathering at the Paley Gates at ASU West to reenact the 1963 March on Washington. Mr. Sinclair has been active in planning the event and has served as the event chairperson since its inception in 1991. His commitment to diversity and inclusiveness also includes serving on the Campus Cultural Committee, Black History Month Committee at ASU West. He is the recipient of the Fulbright Hayes Group Grant for 2010. This group participated in a study of culture and its impact on social justice and human rights in Ghana. He's developing a documentary of that study right now. He is also the faculty advisor for the Black Student Union, the co-founder of the Fairmount Theater of the Deaf, and a board member of the Arizona Jewish Theater. He has been a faculty member at ASU West since 1990, and he serves as a technical director for the Division of Humanities, Arts, and Cultural Studies. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Sinclair to the stage for the award presentation.
Wow. I thought that was a centerpiece. I'd like to thank you, Kristen, for those words. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, I have a dream today. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. This is the way that I try to live my life. And be able to walk in the footsteps of such a great man and to be able to speak his words once a year as we gather 1,000 school children together. Those are some of the things that I try to do. I didn't prepare anything to a speech today because I'm truly honored by this presentation. And I would just like to thank several people. First of all, I'd like to thank my Father in Heaven for being here and giving me the power and the ability to share with those a gift that He has given me. I'd like to thank the MLK Unity Committee for honoring me with this award. And I'd like to thank the event co-chairs and the city of Glendale for putting on this luncheon every year that I have attended and for honoring me with this award. I would be remiss if I didn't thank my colleagues over at Arizona State University for all the work that they've done. You do not put on a march by yourself. Over the years, 20 years, as a matter of fact, there have been hundreds of people who have labored tirelessly to bring students to campus, and for them, I am their representative here today. I'd like to recognize someone who's very special to me, beside my wife, who puts up with me. But this person is a true inspiration to me, and I'd like for you to recognize her, too. This is Miss Jean Fairfax is here with us today. And please recognize. I invited Jean today because Jean has been an inspiration to me. Her and her sister Betty, if you don't know who they are truly, truly an inspiration to us all in the service that they give to their community, not only their time, but their money. Dr. King taught us tolerance. And after the events again of last weekend, I sometimes wonder, what did we learn? What have we learned? I haven't reached the mountaintop, but I won't stop climbing. I won't stop climbing the mountain to teach those people tolerance, to teach each other tolerance. And it is my prayer today that we can become more tolerant of each other, that we can share love with each other, no matter what color we are, no matter what our socioeconomic backgrounds are, that we realize that we are tied to one another. That is my prayer. And again, I want to thank you.
again that we congratulate Mr. St. Clair. Thank you for those powerful words, and it is duly deserved. It is now my pleasure to introduce a very dear friend of mine, Mr. Don Logan, Glendale's Diversity Administrator. He has the privilege this afternoon of introducing our keynote speaker of the hour. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Logan to the stage.
Thank you, Susan. Good afternoon. Dr. Warren Stewart, bio is in itself a keynote presentation. And I think the committee know that giving me any script in any amount of time needs to be strongly disciplined. So I have a script here that I'm going to read that's, fair warning, Dr. Stewart, that has been condensed. Doesn't reflect your total bio, but it gives a good sense of who's going to be addressing us today. And with that being said, recognized by others as a soldier of justice and equality, Dr. Warren H. Stewart, Sr. is presently the senior pastor of the First Institutional Baptist Church of Phoenix. He is a recognized champion and credited with helping make Martin Luther King Jr. Day a recognized holiday in the state of Arizona. His continuing contributions to encourage equal rights have resulted in numerous accolades. In 1993, the Phoenix Gazette called him one of the 10 people whose achievements had the most notable effect on Arizona. He has been honored as a living legend by the Arizona Daily Star. He's received the Calvin C. Good Lifetime Achievement Award from the City of Phoenix and has been named as one of 25 leaders and legends in the business community by the Business Journal. And my favorite, he is also a past recipient of Glendale's Promoting Inclusiveness Award. Dr. Stewart, we consider you one of our own. In addition to his civic contributions, Dr. Stewart holds multiple academic degrees, including a doctorate in ministry. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Warren Stewart to the podium.
Good afternoon. I count it a blessing and a privilege to be standing before you, and I thank God for the privilege to come to our MC. We thank you for your leadership, to the Honorable Mayor. Thank you again for your tenured leadership. The mayor has been the mayor of Glendale for 18 years. Let's thank God for that. To the honoree, God bless you and continue to keep the dream of Dr. King alive in your oratory. To the co-chairs of this committee, the Martin Luther King Jr. event, Rebecca and Joe, you have been so kind and gracious. To all of you who have gathered here today, friends and brothers and sisters, members of the First Institutional Baptist Church, members of my family, my wife and two of our children are here, and Mr. Logan, you, too, are a leader in inclusiveness. We want to thank God for Mr. Logan. Amen. For his presence here. I'm overwhelmed at this opportunity. Just 5 years ago, as was mentioned, I was given the Inclusiveness Award and never dreamed that I would be back at this occasion to deliver the keynote address. In Genesis, the 37th chapter and the 19th verse, you find the words, "They said to one another, here comes that dreamer." They said to one another, "Here comes that dreamer." For those of us who are over 40, Do you remember where you were on that hot summer afternoon in August of 1963? I do. I was glued to a black and white television set in my grandparents' living room in Coffeyville, Kansas. And although I was a husky preteen, 11-year-old at the time, I understood exactly the far-reaching message that spewed flawlessly from the lips of Arizona's, of America's 20th century prophet of justice, liberty, and equality. Perhaps my dream for a holiday in the state of Arizona honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. traced its genesis to that moment as one of the most revered and feared Americans pricked the consciences of millions of citizens of this nation as he shared his dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Can't you hear him? Can't you see him standing before a quarter of a million people on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial proclaiming, "I have a dream"? Every time I hear and see a soundbite of Martin with arms extended, eyes focused, and mouth wide open talking about our dream, I get chills running up and down my spine. But tell me, what is the dream? Arizona, Glendale, Maricopa County, America, what is the dream? What is the dream? A former classmate of mine who founded the Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America and whose cultural identity is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Southerner from Georgia wrote these challenging words about one of his hero's dreams. And I quote, "Admiring Dr. King's dream is not the same as being captured by it. King's dream contains unfinished business. We have inherited an ongoing struggle," end of quote. And so I say thank you, Ken Sehested, in absentia, for being a prophetic voice and continuing Martin's King. So there were a title for my remarks this afternoon. They would be, "What is the dream? What is the dream?" The dream that was declared in August of 1963. Well, I'm going to journey back into the future and interpret and translate the meaning of the dream so that even an 11-year-old today can capture and fulfill it. Perhaps those who participated in the dance group a few moments ago. Moreover, I want to voice the meaning of his dream and practical principles, calling for direct action by every one of us, especially in the environment, in the context, in the cultural milieu in which we find ourselves right now, January the 14th, 2011. The first thing that Dr. King's dream said to me is, "Practice what you preach." Practice what you preach. That's what Dr. King was calling Americans to do in his historic speech on August the 28th, 1963. Listen to his words. "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women are created equal." Self-evident? That means show some signs. That means put up or shut up. That means ye shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. That means stop saying one thing and doing another. The dream means that America then and America now must continue to practice what it preaches. America. Our preamble to the Constitution begins with these words, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, not just us." America, 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 Lincoln's Gettysburg Address declared that this new nation conceived in liberty is dedicated to the proposition that all men and women are created equal. America, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, promises that this republic is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. America, the Civil Rights Acts of 1964, 1965, and 1968 guarantee every person's rights, regardless of race, creed, or color, to eat, work, buy, sell, live, and sleep anywhere and anytime our pocketbooks and our qualifications allow us. America, practice what you preach. Practice justice, liberty, and equality across the board, internally, externally, domestically, internationally, politically, nationally, and economically. America, practice what you preach. That's the first thing that the great I Have a Dream said. What is the dream? Practice what you preach, America. Practice what you preach, Arizona. Practice what you preach, every one of us here. Secondly, it says make new friends. And I really like this one. Make new friends. Yes, Dr. King's dream included making new friends. You don't believe me? Lend your ear to this. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. Yes. The dream means that you and I must be about the business of building relationships with persons and peoples unlike ourselves. It means that a birds of a feather flock together mentality will do nothing but delay the dream's fulfillment and continue the nightmare of separation, segregation, polarization, intimidation, alienation, and discrimination. It means that we've got to engage in reaching out to those who draw back. It means that the majority and the minority must find common ground where they can begin to mend distrustful, distasteful, and disgusting exploitive relationships. Mind you, making new friends does not necessitate attempting to create what some call a colorblind society. Dr. King, in his dream, never called for such. He never called for a colorblind society. Color comes from God. Color is not bad. Color is not ugly. Color is not inferior. God forbid that any of us would be forced to live in a colorblind society. What King's dream foresaw was a color-inclusive America. A color-inclusive America, which was absent of racism, bigotry, and prejudice based on the color of one's skin. His dream called for creative and confident color consciousness, which causes a race to be proud of their history, their heritage, and their hue. It is a dream of different races, peoples, nationalities, and ethnic groups consciously and conscientiously learning about the contributions of other colors and cultures. That's what ethnic heritage classes are all about. It is a dream of former adversaries not only shaking hands, but embracing and engaging in new and lasting friendships as brothers and sisters made in the image and likeness of God. What is the dream? Practice what you preach, America. What is the dream? Make new friends. But third, the dream is to save the children. And thank you, Glendale, for including the children to participate by putting their renditions of art and by having the dance group and others inviting them. Thank you, honoree, for including young people in your rendition every year of the Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream speech. That's part of saving the children. The dream is to save the children, my brothers and sisters. In that I Have a Dream speech, several references are made by Dr. King to children. It is obvious that his four children meant much to him, and it is also obvious that the children of America occupied a prominent place in his vision for a better America. Listen to him dream aloud about the race's three possibilities of future generations. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with this vicious racist, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I remember several years ago, right in the heat of the Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday campaign here, I took two of my sons one time to a park not very far from here. It was a Monday of my Sabbath day, and I took them there in Northwest Phoenix. And little Aubrey, 5 years old with blue eyes and blonde hair, asked me to put her on the swing beside one of my sons. And then Jared and Justin, my sons, connected to a human train with Julian, an Anglo child, and Nathan, a Mexican boy. And they all slid down the slide, hooked up together, and none of us had ever seen each other before. That's part of the dream of Martin Luther King Jr. How I pray, and obviously something has gone wrong. How I pray to God that as those children of God's rainbow grow older, and they will not allow racism and prejudice and bigotry to drown them in a sea of hatred and ignorance. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream commands us to save the children. What if someone had tried to save Jared Loughner? Martin Luther King, yes. Martin Luther King Jr. commands us to save the children. Red, yellow, black, brown, and white, they are all precious in God's sight. Martin loves the little children of the world. What is the dream? To practice what you preach. What is the dream? To make new friends. What is the dream? To save the children. Fourth, what is the dream? To lift, lower, smooth, and straighten. To lift, lower, smooth, and straighten. You say, where do you get that from, preacher? Well, in the I Have a Dream speech that day, Martin King said, I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. Janet Napolitano quoted it the other day, I believe, in Tucson. Though there are brothers and sisters down in the valley of despair that need a lift from us uppies, yuppies, buppies, and those of us who have made it, life circumstances have not been kind to them, and we owe it to them ourselves, God and Martin, to give them a lift. God knows some of us need to lower our egos from the mountains of arrogance, attitude, and amnesia. Yeah, some of us forget that Martin didn't make it to the mountaintop until the end of his journey. A matter of fact, he left the reserved and restricted ranks of middle classdom to battle in the trenches alongside the masses. When was the last time you lowered yourself to visit a low-income housing project, volunteer in an inner city school, or serve at a shelter? We've got to lower. We've got to lift. We've got to smooth. We've got to smooth, y'all. We've got to smooth out the rough places in life for the homeless, the helpless, the forgotten, the forsaken, the abused, the misused, the denied, the falsely tried, the lowly, the lonely, and the left out. The road is too rough for them to make it without our help. They need us, who've made it over the rough side of the mountain. There's also some straightening out to be done. Our communities are cluttered with the crooked. Crookedness has become the order of the day. Crooked leaders, crooked preachers, crooked politicians, crooked bankers, crooked business, crooked school system, crooked criminals, crooked cops. We've got to get busy and straighten out everything that is crooked in our society. Yeah. But lastly, the dream means, Mr. Logan, we must keep the faith and don't give up. If the dream means nothing else, it means we must keep the faith and don't give up. Dr. King carried his most eloquent speech to ecstatic heights when he connected his dream to our hope. Can't you hear him again reaching to the top? with these words, "This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with." With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land where the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. And if America is to be great, if America is to be a great nation, this must become true." So what is the dream? Practice what you preach. Make new friends, save the children, lift lower, smooth and straighten. Keep the faith and don't give up. Whatever you do, in light of what happened a few days ago, in light of the injustices that still exist, keep the faith and don't give up. We made it through slavery. We made it through Reconstruction. We made it through Jim Crow laws. We made it through the Civil Rights Movement. We made it through wars and rumors of wars. We made it through September 11, 2001. We're making it through Iraq and Afghanistan. We're making it through the historic election of the first African-American president of these United States of America. We are making it through the roughest, the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And we will make it through our immigration issues. We will make it. We will make it through our bitter, vitriolic, negative, partisan politics. We will make it through the Tucson terror we experienced on January the 8th, 2011. We will make it through. So my words to you, my brothers and sisters, is to keep the faith and do not give up. Let's keep Dr. King's dream alive. Let's live the dream not just one day of the year, but let's live the dream every day of the year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Let's live the dream so much that we'll actualize the words of the song to dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chase from afar, to try when our arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star, to dream the impossible dream. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stewart, for those encouraging words, the marching orders that he has given us today. What is the dream? Thank you so much for those remarks. We are going to begin our closing remarks at this time, and it has been a true honor and privilege to once again stand before you as your MC to serve for this extraordinary event. My closing remarks today, my daughters came to me and said, "Where are you going?" And I told them I was going to MC the Dr. Martin Luther King Luncheon in Glendale. And they said, "We read a book about him, Mommy, last week. Who is Dr. King?" And I said, "He is a pioneer of the civil rights movement, an activist," and on for five-year-olds to understand. And then I thought, and I went and got my camera, and I pulled it out, and I turned it around, and I showed them Air Force One, because I was at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base on Monday for the memorial. And I turned it around and I showed them the President of the United States and First Lady stepping off Air Force One. I said, "That is Dr. Martin Luther King. That is what he wanted from us. The first African-American president to be stepping off Air Force One. Justice in a world that is now just." Thank you so much. I appreciate joining you this evening or this afternoon. Please join me in welcoming a remarkable man to the stage, a champion of diversity in his great city. It is with great pleasure I bring forward Mr. Ed Beasley, the city manager.
You know, it's we've done this quite a few times, and God willing, we'll continue to do it in the future, have these Martin Luther King days. But this one is different. It's different not only because of the tragedy in Tucson, but this now gives us a chance to take a look in the future. The inclusiveness, remembering the children, the great words, the great thoughts that we heard today. It's not about thinking about, even though we do reflect on the bad that's happened, but on this day, the new opportunity that we can go forward and share in those things to make this day the day, because it'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. But we are fortunate, we're blessed that we do have the chance to reflect, we do have the opportunity, and we do have the future. So I thank you so very much for coming, and appreciate again all of those who were part of the program, who participated in the program, and made this program happen. Thank you.
We're about done, so if you just bear with us a little more, we'd like to really just thank everyone for taking the time today to come out and join us. I want to thank the mayor and city council, our leadership within the city of Glendale, the staff who have attended today, members of our community, organizations and businesses alike, representatives from other municipalities, other counties, and within our own county and the state itself. Real quickly, I would also just like to again acknowledge our winner today. Mr. Sinclair, thank you again for the wonderful work you're doing. And that fantastic speech. Thank you so much, Dr. Stewart. Lastly, I would like to thank the committee itself and the staff that I work with every day for the support and patience with me in helping support this effort to put this program together. And with that, I'd like to turn the program over to Joe.
Thank you, Becky. We'd like to present a few special gifts at this time. Dr. Stewart, would you please return to the stage? Thank you for celebrating with us and sharing those words of wisdom and encouragement. We wish you continued success in your efforts to promote positive change in the world. Ms. Casper, would you please return to the stage? Thank you so much for giving back to the community by serving as our MC today. Your warmth and professionalism made this event a success. And finally, this event cannot have taken place without the dedicated effort of the MLK Unity Day Subcommittee with the support of the City of Glendale Diversity Committee. Would the members of both committees please stand at this time to be acknowledged? This year, we're doing something different as a token of appreciation for your attendance. Instead of one person per table winning the centerpiece, APS has generously provided a compact fluorescent light for everyone here. May the light serve as a reminder of the power each of you has to illuminate the way toward a more just, inclusive, and harmonious society. Thank you again, and have a great day.
Woo!